Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rossini, our co-host. Chris, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you, Dr. Paul.
Very good. I'd like to talk about a subject that I talk about quite frequently. It's a favorite subject, and for me, it's a very important subject, and for the economy, I think it's an important subject. That has to do with the Federal Reserve. And there's some people now talking about a bubble out there. Some people say everything a bubble. And bubbles have been around for a long time. We certainly talked, or I did it when I was in Congress, about the NASDAQ bubble and the housing bubble. But, Chris, what I want to address here now is the Federal Reserve, we really seriously believe they have a lot to do with this. So do you think we should expect that the Federal Reserve will have an announcement this week in saying, you know, we're in the midst of a bubble, there's danger ahead, and it all comes because we made a mistake? What do you think the odds are that the Fed's going to let us know up front about the danger that they have created?
The odds are precisely zero. They have never warned about bubbles, that they create the bubbles. They never warned that the top is in, and we should never expect them to, because to be blunt, people that steal from you, you shouldn't look to them for the truth. And you may think to yourself, wait a second, what do you mean the Fed steals from me? I never wrote a check to the Federal Reserve. I barely even know who they are. Well, the Fed, they are the money printer. They create money to finance government. And every time they create money, and they do it by the trillions now, it devalues the money that you have in your pocket. Your money is worth less. So when you go to the store and prices are rising around you, that's how you pay. That's where how it was stolen from you. Your purchasing power was stolen. It should be the opposite with sound money. There should be more goods, more productivity, and that drives down prices and increases the standard of living. Instead, we have more money creation and higher prices and lower standard of living. We should never, ever expect them to tell us the truth about anything, to be truth.
You know, I think there are several different reasons why the Fed resists on telling the truth. Sometimes it's wishful thinking. You know, they think, and we've heard this many, many times over the year, and I think there's some sincerity in it. This time it's different. And it is probably conveying false confidence, but there are some people who think that they are so sophisticated. I remember Greenspan telling me that he still honored and respected the gold standard, but the difference is we have learned to run monetary policy as if we had a gold standard. So it's sort of deceptive, and it's different this time, but the bubble is out there, and the same thing is going to happen no matter what they say. But I think what they want to do is to avoid being blamed for anything, because if they told us the truth and we say, well, it's your fault. And I think right now they've been under attack last several years, especially since the last deep recession, that they had something to do with this. So they're not going to come clean. And they avoid telling the truth. They will continue to deceive us this way. And I think that they want to, I guess this is honest. They want to avoid a panic. You know, what if they did tell the truth and say, oh, you know, we did. We traded, you know, immediate prosperity for paying for it later on. And therefore, we've had a good 10 years. And even one of the Federal Reserve Board chairmen said, you know, and I think it was Bernanke who said, you know, it's much more difficult to deal with the problem than it is to solve it after the collapse. That is, don't try to prevent it. And I understand that in a way, because politically, and that's been one of my arguments why they'll keep doing this, it's politically very difficult, because they'd have to quit printing, quit manipulating interest rates, and the Congress would have to quit spending, you know, on and on. And that's not going to happen. So they just resign themselves. Yeah, the crisis is coming. And Bernanke and others say, well, we just print. We use helicopters, drop money out of helicopters, and that will work. But I think there's a little bit of delusion in here. It's sort of this thing called, you know, this omnipotence that they're smarter than anybody else, and this delusion that they have the knowledge to do it. And that's why they think it'll be different time. But they're really deceiving themselves. But the bubble is there. Nobody wants to admit it. I think people should prepare for it. And quite frankly, my opinion is this bubble's really big. It's different. Some people say, well, where's the bubble? CPI is not going up. It's not going, it's going up a lot more than the government will tell us. But yeah, you're right. CPI has gone up much more at other times. But where's the bubble? Well, I think it's out there. I think the bonds are in a bubble. I think when there's no interest rates paid or negative interest rates, there's a big bubble there. But I think one of the things that we're facing right now that's going to be the toughest to handle is the easy credit, the money for free, essentially, and corporations borrowed a lot and banks were involved. And they take this money, and do they invest in these past 10 years to have a real great increase in production and building of new industries? No, they really haven't. A lot of it has gone into buying back their own stock. And right now, the corporations own $6.5 trillion. And all they need is a recession where they can't, and the stocks drop, and then they're under the burden of not only paying back the little bit of interest they owe, which has now added up because they borrowed so much, but paying back the interest. And I think that is a huge bubble, and they won't be able to handle it. So it all depends on keeping this thing going. And that's why I think people recognize that when you counterfeit money and pass it out, and people talk to see themselves and saying, well, this really isn't counterfeit. These are Federal Reserve notes. They think they can keep it going. So under these wonderful, beautiful economic conditions, low unemployment rate, and also no inflation, that we can lower interest rate. So they're 1% and 2% and probably really at 0%. Why are they so panicked into dealing with this? Why are they so frightened? Usually tariffs come when you're in really big economic trouble, like in the Depression. That's when the Holly Smoot tariffs came in. And here we're into a tariff war right now, promoted by the executive branch, by our president. So in one sense, everything can't be beautiful. And if it's true that these are things that just sort of delay things or perpetuate the problems, I think we're looking at a rapidly expanding bubble right now. And only those who have an inkling about Austrian economics and the significance of rigging interest rates are prepared for what's to come.
That's right, Dr. Paul. And I do want to point out that when the bubble bursts, don't expect the truth-telling to start then, because it's just going to continue. They'll lie the whole way down, too. It's just a blip in a road. This is not a recession, depression. Just a blip on the screen. You'll see politically connected CEOs come on and tell you how strong America is, and they're putting their money in and believe in America. But the market is stronger than governments, central banks, CEOs, billionaires. And the whole time down, on the way down, you can watch the Liberty Report. We'll report on it. They're going to try their best to keep the focus off the Fed, and when the focus should be exactly on the Fed, because they're the ones that create the whole mess.
You know, along with what I was saying, I think we can include this to further describe the bubble is the debt. We're in a debt bubble, and it's huge. Just the debt for the corporation, $6.5 trillion. That everybody talks about and worry a little bit about the federal debt of $22 trillion, but you know, if Congress really worried about it, the president certainly isn't concerned about it. Every week he comes up with more spending because he does believe spending, keeps you away from a recession. Or if you're in a recession, you print money and you spend money. He's in part of that school. But how about the unfunded liabilities? Over $200 trillion, and it's hard to measure them all. But the states have tremendous debt liabilities, unfunded pension funds. This is all based on debt, on the idea of the dollar is so strong and they will always be available to bail out the system. But someday they will find that printing money doesn't do what they want. printing money doesn't. It's done for consumption. It's done to prop up the stock market. But and it eventually will not even produce. You know, cause more production, and things cascade. And then there's a panic. And then there's a panic out of it, which we saw just in this recent decade or so. I mean, the NASDAQ bubble was huge. You know, I was just looking at the number on an aspect. When the NASDAQ bubble burst, it lost 80% of its value. And the housing bubble was much bigger than the NASDAQ bubble. But this bubble is even bigger because it's more worldwide, and it's dependent on the whole idea that people will trust the dollar. And therefore, I think it's a concerted effort internationally, because everybody's involved, to make sure people can trust the dollar, because there are trust factors that are important in valuation and in pricing things. So if they look at our economy, it's a strong economy, military might, yes, kingpins of the world, and that will convey a confidence in a currency like the dollar, but it's not real. It's not real. It's a deception, and it works to a small degree, but what it really does is perpetuates the bubble. So this is going to continue. It's not going to stop. The pain of stopping is sort of like getting off drugs. Right now, there's a lot of concern about the opioid epidemic, and the federal government's even now looking at more laws to prevent the opioid epidemic. So there's a lot of withdrawal symptoms there, and that's why here, this addiction to this, it's very, very difficult to back off. They're not going to back off, and they are going to follow, and it'll be bipartisan, that if there's a sharp downturn, they are going to pass out the money. If the money didn't get to the right people after the last go-around, which they did, it was true, because it went to the mortgage companies and the banks and the corporations, this time the money will be passed out to individuals, because there is this populism and socialism attitude, take care of the people, take care of the people. And they have no real understanding how markets distribute wealth and raises the benefits of the middle class. And that is the problem. They don't understand that, and they are going to rely on the Federal Reserve to take care of it. But right now there are a lot of questions, and I'm going to work very hard continuously to expose the Fed for their culpability in what's going on and why this bubble exists.
Yes, very good, Dr. Paul. And I'll finish by telling our viewers, you know, Dr. Paul, we all know, spent a lot of time in Washington. And he reported back to us many times that their view of the common person is not very good. It's very low, actually. They think we have memories of a goldfish. Just tell the people, just repeat the same things, whether it be for endless wars that are for quote-unquote freedom, or what's the Fed going to do to save us? It's just, it's on autopilot. And we're seeking the people that want out of this stuff, you know, because you can go along with it. You're expected to go along with it. Listen to their lies, believe them. But we appeal to you to look for the truth. And we're trying to put it out there, spread this with your friends, people that you think have an open mind and are looking to get out of this matrix that has been set up. And you'll find that the road is very rewarding.
That's right. Excuse me. And I think the basic flaw in the system that perpetuates this is the fact that the people do have a voice in this, but the large majority still have a strong appetite for big government, for spending, for the welfare programs, the little guy and the big guy, and the corporations and the banks and the military-industrial complex. The appetite is there, and there's no way they're going to say, well, we have to pay for it. Can you imagine how few wars there would have been fought in this century alone if we had had to pay on a monthly basis for the wars? They wouldn't have existed, and hundreds of thousands of people wouldn't have been killed, and many thousands of our own people. But the wars have been totally useless. But the gimmick has been, well, not only can we have this and satisfy them by spending the money, we have this counterfeit machine, and we have rigged it. We have systematically, since we've introduced the notion of the Federal Reserve has systematically removed it from all restraints by getting rid of the gold standard and any gold restraints. So now we have a counterfeiting machine that a lot of people still trust in. Matter of fact, the trust is overwhelming. That's the last hinge. The trust that counterfeiting paper money, fiat money, will satisfy all this appetite for government and for all the special interests. So it is a challenging time. To me, you know, philosophically, it's sort of exciting to watch, but exciting in a dangerous way, because a lot of people are going to suffer, and it's all unnecessary. It's the same way as the wars. Just think of fighting all those useless, senseless wars in the Middle East in this century. So senseless, and it cost a lot of money, but it has been devastating. So that's the kind of thing that's going to come, and it will not be easy to shift gears. But the only thing I can advise is people need to know what's happening and what caused it and what to do. And there are various ways to protect. But for me, yes, you should protect and have a way to survive if things got really out of hand. But the most important contribution I think any of us can make is to understand philosophically the difference between government intervention, which creates this and appeals to the people who want stuff for free. And this is what is necessary for us to do, is to understand what liberty is all about and have confidence. It doesn't have to be that bad, even in the recovery. It doesn't have to be bad, but there has to be a shift in attitude, which I quite frankly think is possible, even though very difficult. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.